Tell me who hath believed our report, and to whom is it revealed, the mighty arm of the Lord.
Hello, I'm Kathy Davidson, and I'd like you to join me and the ministers of music from Water of Life Church here in Plano, Texas, as we minister the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, which is the power of God. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch Christian who, along with her father and her other family members, helped many Jews escape the Nazi Holocaust during World War II. For that, she and her family were placed in concentration camps. The book, The Hiding Place, was written by her describing the ordeal. Corrie went to be with the Lord in 1983. She wrote an article about forgiveness that I am going to minister today. I'm going to read this, and I'm going to read it in the first person because there's no other way to read it, and I thank God for Corrie ten Boom.
Amen.
She said, "It was in a church in Munich that I saw him, a balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. People were filing out of the basement room where I had just spoken, moving along the rows of wooden chairs to the door at the rear. It was 1947, and I had come from Holland to defeated Germany with the message that God forgives. It was the truth they needed most to hear in that bitter, bombed-out land, and I gave them my favorite mental picture, maybe because the sea is not forever far from a Hollander's mind. I like to think that it's where forgiven sins are thrown. When we confess our sins, I said, God cast them into the deepest ocean, gone forever. The solemn faces stared back at me, not quite daring to believe. There were never questions after a talk in Germany in 1947. People would stand up in silence collected their wraps, and in silence left the room. And that's when I saw him, working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat, the next a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. It came back to me with a rush. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment skin. Betsy, how thin you were. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out. A fine message, Fraulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than to take that hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among those thousands of women? But I remembered him and the leather crop swinging from his belt. I was face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. No, he did not remember me. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well. Fraulein, again the hand came out, will you forgive me? And I stood there, I whose sins had again and again to be forgiven and could not forgive. Betsy had died in that place. How could I erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed like hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing that I had ever had to do. For I knew I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus said, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. I knew it was not only as a commandment of God, but as a daily experience. Since the end of the war, I had had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. Those who were able to forgive their former enemies were able also to return to the outside world and rebuild their lives, no matter what the physical scars. But those who nursed their bitterness remained invalids. It was as simple and as horrible as that. And I stood there with the coldness clenching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Help, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arms, sprang into our joined hands. And then, this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried, with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. Thank God for Corrie ten Boom. And thank God for Jesus. I'm going to play a song for us. Let God minister to you what I just read.
In the beginning of time, the spring began to flow. In a garden he called Eden, where man and wife abode. But the stream was dammed by wife and man, sin brought it to an end. It would take a life most precious to bring the flow again. There's a river flowing from God's throne. It flows eternally, flowing with His love for you and me. Perfecting holy righteousness in me. In time the spring would wind its way through a garden by a hill, where the Son of Man was lifted up to obey His Father's will. And He rose again triumphant, the truth for all to know. And in an upper room the faithful felt the rivers overflow. There's a river flowing from God's throne. It flows eternally, flowing with His love for you and me. Perfecting holy righteousness in me. And the soft pure river of the water of life, flowing free and clear. And on either side the tree of life, bearing fruits throughout the year. And where that stream will flow, the waters live and the tree will grow, and its leaves are for the healing of the nations. And its leaves are for the healing of the nations. There's a river flowing from God's throne. It flows eternally, flowing with His love for you and me. Perfecting perfecting holy righteousness in me.
Before I pray, I'd like to invite my radio friends to join me here on my live stream program every Monday and Thursday at 11:30. You can watch me live at my website, Kathy Davidson, K-A-T-H-I-E, Davidson, W-O-L, as in water of life, .com. Now, let's pray. Let the power of my Lord be great. Father, my Father, let the power of my Lord be great. Open our eyes that we can see. Open our hearts like you did for Lydia, that we can attend unto the things which are spoken. Turn us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you believe the Bible? Do you really believe the Bible? Do you believe that the words in the Bible are the words of God? I'm going to challenge you a little bit today. I'm going to step on some religious toes, but I am only going to read to you what the Word of God says. So, with that, now I've got you thinking, don't I? I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm going to only read verse 21. This is Paul talking about Jesus. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Let's go back and look at that. You know, I used to be a third grade teacher, and I used to ask my students, who are they talking about? That pronoun, he, who are they talking about? Well, right here, for he has made him. Who is the first he? For he. The first he, if you go back to the verses before that, it is the Father. It is Jehovah. For Jehovah, Jesus' Father, your Father, my Heavenly Father. For he has made him. Who's the him? The him is Jesus. For Jehovah has made Jesus, has made Jesus sin, has made Jesus sin, who knew no sin, has made Jesus sin, who knew no sin, the Father, God Almighty in heaven made his beloved Son, Jesus, sin. Sin. Have you ever considered that verse? Have you ever thought about the depths of that verse? I remember one day I was reading this and God was ministering to me the gospel, giving me the revelation of it. And I was considering Jesus on the cross. And you know what the Father told me? He said, Kathy. Yeah, he called me by my first name, Kathy. He said, Jesus didn't carry your sins in a suitcase. Do you hear what this verse is saying? The Father made Jesus sin. Made Jesus sin. Okay, let's take a look at this body on the cross. It states in Psalms, every bone was dislocated. He was without form, as to Isaiah 53. Without form. No beauty that we should desire him. And like I said so many times before, Jesus' death was a noble act, but he did not die a noble death. Do you hear me? Jesus did a noble act by dying and being buried and rose again, but he did not die a noble death. Why? Every bone dislocated, no form. Why did that body look so bad? Why? Was Jesus marred more than any man, according to Isaiah 52, more than any man? We have technology today that we see pictures from all over the world in an instant. We see bodies that have been marred. We see bodies that have been killed, beheaded, mutilated. But Isaiah 52 says he was marred more than any man, any man. Why? This verse right here. He has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Do you know what was on that cross? Are you a murderer? The Father took that murder and put it on Jesus. There was a murderer on that cross. Are you an adulterer? The Father took that adultery of yours and put it on that body. And Jesus was an adulterer. Do you see that? Are you a thief? The Father took that thievery in you and he put it on that body. And Jesus was a thief. Jesus, he was a whoremonger. He was a liar. He was an unbeliever. He was a child molester. He was a concentration camp guard. Do you see that? He who knew no sin became sin. That body on the tree was everything that you and I were. I'm going to say this till you can get it in your heart. Jesus was a murderer. Jesus was a thief. Jesus was an adulterer. Jesus was a child molester. Jesus was a child beater. Jesus was a wife beater. Jesus was a liar. Jesus was. You fill in the blank. You fill in the blank. He who knew no sin became sin that you might be made the righteousness of God. Everything in you went on that body. In his soul, he became you. Now, why did Jesus go to hell? Because in Acts and the Psalms, all through there, Jesus went to hell. Why? Because that's where murderers go. That's where child molesters go. That's where adulterers go. That's where liars go. That's where whoremongers go. That's where covetous people go. That's where the self-righteous go. That's where the sinner goes. They go to hell. And that's where God sent Jesus. Why? Why did God send Jesus to hell? Because that's what he was. He who knew no sin became sin. Became sin. Jesus went to hell because he deserved it. Did you get that? Jesus went to hell because he deserved it. He had your sin on him. Now, let's go to Isaiah 53. I'm going to begin in verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. This is Jehovah. It pleased the Lord to send Jesus to hell. It pleased the Lord. This is Jehovah. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, to make him sick. It pleased the Lord. He has put him to grief. That means he has made him sick. Now, this is where I want you to see these next phrases. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. When thou shalt make his soul. Who's thou? Goes right back up to Jehovah. When Jehovah shall make. When Jehovah shall make his soul, whose soul? Jesus' soul, an offering for sin. Jesus became sin. He who knew no sin became sin. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, what happens? What happens after Jesus was made a sin offering? What happens when Jesus went to hell because he deserved it, because he was all those things? He was sin. What happens next? Look at the next phrase. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, and now look, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. What happens here? What is this? It's the resurrection. It is the resurrection. It is Jesus coming out of that grave. It is the resurrection. It is a whoremonger, an adulterer, a liar, an unbeliever, a self-righteous, a covetous. It is all that coming out of the grave, forgiven. Forgiven. How do you know it's forgiven? How do you know it's forgiven? Oh, okay, let's keep reading. Let's look at verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul. Who? He. Goes right back to Jehovah. He shall see the travail of his soul. Remember, I told you, God told me, Kathy, Jesus didn't carry your sins in a suitcase. He who knew no sin became sin. Became sin. It said, he, Jehovah, shall see the travail of his soul. His soul, Jesus' soul. What happened when the Father saw Jesus suffering in hell? What happened when the Father saw Jesus pain in hell? The next phrase, and shall be satisfied. The Father was satisfied. The Father was satisfied. He was satisfied with that offering of Jesus. Do you know what that means? The Father is satisfied. The Father is satisfied. Have you ever been really hungry and had a good meal to where the point that you're no longer hungry? Well, guess what? The Father was satisfied. He was satisfied with that offering. Do you know what that means? Let's keep going. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. There is Jesus becoming sin. Look at this next word. Therefore. Therefore. He saw the travail of his soul and he was satisfied. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong. You know what great means? It means many. Therefore will I divide him a portion with many. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong. You know what strong means? It means mighty in number, vast, a whole bunch. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong because he has poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many. And made intercession for the transgressors. Do you see why you are forgiven? You are forgiven. It's already been paid for. The Father is satisfied. What is your job? To say yes and to receive it. To receive it. I'm going to finish here with the song At Calvary, done by Terry and the Browns with Paul Peters. As that plays, receive that forgiveness that you need.
Crucified. voice that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied.
Shall call on the name of the Lord, shall be saved, shall be delivered. Go after it. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you for joining Kathy Davidson and the musicians from Water of Life Church. She'd love to hear from you. You may reach her by email at Kathy, K-A-T-H-I-E, at KathyDavidsonWOL.com. That's W-O-L for Water of Life. Or you may write her at Kathy Davidson, care of Water of Life Church, P.O. Box 861327, Plano, Texas, 75086. You may find her on the internet at www.KathyDavidsonWOL.com and on Facebook and Twitter. Until next time, God bless.